This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to our program. It is good to have you along today as we talk about tourism. We're joined by Otto Karishian. He's the director of the Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau. And we're also joined by Andrew Miller, who heads up the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau, between them covering a five-county area. We'll talk today with the gentleman about the latest on tourism here in the Valley as we head into the summer season, the spring and summer season, finding out a bit more about what tourism does mean to Pennsylvania. Thanks for being with us on the program today, gentlemen. Let's begin with a look at the, it's been a while since we've had you, but we're heading into the spring and summer. And is that your biggest time of the year, or is it the other way around for winter?
Summer is, we usually go, summer's our busiest, fall then is our second, then it's spring and then winter. You know, we're really not a big winter destination.
And we're a little different in Columbia Montour counties. And again, thanks for having us, Matt. Appreciate it. Our busiest season is fall. I mean, that's probably systemic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because we have the fair and the Covered Bridge Festival. So two hugely popular events. And then we go summer, spring, and then like the winter is, we do not have a lot of winter assets.
Let's kind of focus first then on your area, Andrew. And what are some of the big things that have been in your purview over the years that, you know, keep coming back, very consistent?
You know, we have our what I would call our foundation festivals. And so, you know, when as the year begins to kick off and everyone's kind of getting out of winter and thrilled that the weather is warmer, you know, what we have upcoming in spring, which is some of the big foundation ones, is the Lewisburg Arts Festival. You know, it's been around for a long time. That's a fan favorite. What has cemented itself in Snyder County. And once again, we represent Snyder, Northumberland, Union County. The McClure Bacon Festival is coming up in April. That's a fan favorite. And then we have the Middle Creek Valley Antique Machinery. But what we end up seeing, getting through surviving 2020, is that things have definitely picked back up. So what we're seeing is that attendance is well back to what it was, if not even increasing more at the festivals. So, you know, every festival that you see seasonally, from, you know, like the Sunbury River Festival to all the fall festivals of the spring, to the Sealands Grow Brew Fest, you are seeing that the attendance is back. People are really anxious to get out. And once again, you know, what has been consistently strong that we've been hanging our hat on for years, but, you know, 2020 cemented, is just outdoor recreation is just really taking off. And what's interesting is the state is really hanging their hat on it now. In fact, the governor's really hanging his hat on it. I know the tourism office has been thinking about really wanting to have Pennsylvania be competitive. And the spin that they're putting on it, which does make a lot of sense, is they want to make sure that they don't stop losing the younger generation, right? And so with outdoor recreation, that actually is a huge amenity that you don't necessarily have to build a lot of infrastructure for, that the younger generation definitely is into. And I know it's the same for you. I mean, outdoor recreation, especially for rural Pennsylvania, you know, it's an easy amenity to market as long as you have the right partners.
Outdoor rec is the driving force for the valleys of the Susquehanna region, which is the name of our combined region, and has been during the pandemic. I mean, it definitely buffered our numbers in 2020 when we were expecting the worst, and we were nowhere near that bad in comparison to especially any type of Philadelphia or Pittsburgh region. We did quite well. The only, I don't even want to speak in terms of negative, but the one thing, because it is so popular, the one thing that we get concerned about is, and I know the state does as well, DCNR does, is the overloving of our natural resources. We have wonderful resources here, and but there has to be a plan in place to, hey, how do you manage when you're used to having, I'm just throwing out numbers, they're not accurate. How do you manage 1,000 people a day when you're used to seeing 10 people a day? It's like, okay, where do you park these people? How do you get them on the trail safely so that they return? Because a lot of these people, like you said, younger generation, maybe it's the first time they're doing outdoor recreation, especially on our riverways like the Susquehanna. They're just going to buy a kayak, go out and jump in with no idea of the safety that's required on the river. So a lot of intangible things, but numbers wise, it's great.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Because that was one of the things. So you're having more people, but you might not have the same human resources, right, at the park. So,
correct.
You know, ideally, you don't want to have a lot of litter, but there could be more litter. And if you have restrooms, I will say that one challenge that I'm definitely hearing over and over again, and you're probably hearing the same thing, especially for people that are producing events of all kinds, especially when tickets are involved, is people are waiting till the last minute to buy tickets, simply because consumer patterns seem to have changed, where they're making their decisions, it seems to be at the last minute, and it's got to be really convenient for them. And if it's not convenient and it's not at the right time, and so what we've had to say to an awful lot of event organizers, wait for like the last 2 weeks before your event. Don't worry, but just wait. And so, you know, it's almost as if we're before you might market, let's say 90 days out for everyone to market on their calendar. If you're going to do that, you're probably not going to see any movement on anything for maybe even the last 3 weeks,
you know,
which is scary.
Agree with that too. Absolutely. Some of that's weather dependent, but I think there's just a lot more options for people and they're just, okay, what's going on? I'm going to do what I feel like doing the week of. I know personally, I do the same exact thing because I go to a lot of outdoor music festivals and I wait till the last week to make my decisions up, booking hotels or whatever it is.
I think there's a lot of last minute spontaneous decisions made by people. Now, I don't know whether it is driven by, let's say, the ticket price. I think it's got to be, I want to do this. And it might be driven more by, I want to do it. It's convenient. It's nearby. I want to do it now. And then maybe the price comes in, you know, second nature. I mean, we have combined, on doing, you know, a passport trail together. And we have done a separate one. And what we saw is that the sales were below what we had anticipated. And I know that with a recent cabin fever trail that we did, that was for the wineries, sales didn't hit what we thought, and we're going to rethink it. I mean, nobody's fault other than what we realize is I think it wasn't as convenient for the consumers as they wanted. Because they're probably thinking, well, you know, if I want to go to a winery, I'm going to go to a winery. I'm not going to go to all 11 wineries in order to qualify for a prize. You know, that might be a little too inconvenient. So I get it.
And I think adding to that also, Andrew, is I started seeing it last year. There's a little bit of uncertainty with the public as far as the dollars in their pocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that's definitely playing a role. I mean, just no one knows. So I think there is a little less dollars people are willing to spend, or I won't even say that they're willing to spend. They're probably willing to spend the same amount of dollars, but they're being very careful on where they're spending those dollars.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, on a positive note, what we were talking about earlier is the State Tourism Office does an economic impact report on visitor spending. And because it's such an extensive report broken down by counties, by tourism region, the most recent report is from 2022, but hot off the press yesterday, which is exciting for the Valleys, our 5-county area, that visitor spending in 2022, now that's still a year ago, right? So, but it is... the increase in visitor spending in 2022 was $50 million over pre-pandemic levels, which at least for our counties were considered good spending.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, 2019 was record high for us in visitor spending. Yep. So to be $50 million over that is really a great breakthrough. We have a big VIP event every December. We invite them for lunch. And I tend to be, not only is the glass half full, but it's overflowing. And I was giving a prediction. I always share the report, and the report I had was 2021, where visitor spending in my 3 counties was $361 million out of the 5 counties. And my prediction for the 22 numbers was $408 million. And everybody thought that was really kind of, too pie-eyed. Well, it came in at $428
million.
Wow. So that's $67 million in an increase in visitor spending between 21 and 22. So that's a huge positive indicator that visitors are coming back, or, now once again, it's delayed and we see inflation, this past year, but that is definitely a positive.
And that's always been a trend that we've seen. That last statement you made about visitors returning, our region, I think I can include your region in this.
Yes, exactly what you're going to say.
Visitors are very loyal. Once they find us, they are going to return because they like what they see. We have friendly people. We have friendly communities. The assets rival any assets that you can find in the state. So,
and the price point. Right, you know.
Another solid point, yes.
It's a heck of a lot easier to get a room here than it is in the Philadelphia area, though I will say one of the craziest things that has been interesting about 23 has been that room rates have been extraordinarily high and people have been paying them. Almost like, you know, the real estate bubble. And so you have to anticipate that at some point the rates are going to go down and be more realistic. And we're beginning to see that.
I think that's a trend nationwide.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That average daily rate is exploding. And when I see what we're getting in our area, I'm not that I'm shocked, but I'm like, oh, that's nice. But wow, I'm surprised we're getting that when you compare it to what a Philadelphia is getting.
Now, one of the surprises that we've seen is, I mean, State College is an hour away west of us, right? But the room rates in State College for, you know, home games and for all of their graduation and activities are so high, we've seen an increase in people staying over in our neck of the woods simply because our room rates are lower than theirs.
And we're actually even seeing that.
Wow. Yeah.
In talking to one of our lodging partners yesterday, they're working diligently with the Little League because of just the overflow. Like, Comey County can handle so much, but then ultimately, and I'm sure you're in the same boat because you see the overflow, we see the overflow, and it's good for the bottom line for those particular properties.
Yeah, so and that's one of the things that, you know, is great about, if, you know, what's the waters rise and, you know, everyone. Little League, you know, we, I know that PIAA stays overnight in Montour County hotels. I know that Little League does. There's a lot of events that are coming up that will bleed over into each other's counties just because of the inventory.
I know we've talked in the past about how, you know, you get this image of certain places being the tourist destinations, like obviously Disney World, things
right,
like this.
Yeah.
Whereas in our area, they might not be standing out to everybody, but sometimes even the locals have to look a little closer and see what's in their own backyard. But, I mean, is it in tourism, is it kind of a case of whatever you have, you can sell if you know how to do it? Because, I mean, there's got to be places in the country that you'd say, why would I go there? But
right.
It's about, you know, selling it or, you know, what you do have.
I agree. I mean, you know, I mean, we're marketers, right? First and foremost. Yeah. I mean, we've changed since a lot of people might not understand like what a visitors bureau is. The spin that we put on it is that we're a marketing agency that specializes in tourism, right? So, you know, we put a spin on everything, right? So, plus the fact that, you know, a lot of our members are, you know, community businesses that everybody know. We want, and we're a regional bureau, we want everyone in the region to support these local businesses. And, you know, backyard tourism is a big promotion for ours, and supporting local businesses is being a good neighbor and a good stakeholder. And, you know, what we've seen a trend since the, you know, economy from 2008 is day trippers, right? So we want to encourage people, you know, to be a day tripper, and studies show that because day trippers are not staying overnight, that they're spending more money on retail and food, you know. And interesting in this report, what we've seen over the last couple of years is now that they're quantifying and qualifying day trip money because it is an economic impact. So we're always, you know, encouraging people to take day trips and to support your local businesses and get out and explore. We had a gentleman stop by our visitor center the other day from Milton, never stopped by the visitor center in his whole entire life, and was like, I can't believe what you have here, which is just indicative. You know, I think you're probably going to be surprised, you know, if you get out and explore, because you tend to, you know, kind of overlook, you know, you go by the museum or the historic sign or, you know, the massacre, you know, what happened here, and people really don't know. You know, you just kind of, you know, blur and goes by, and it's like, oh, I don't know. So I feel our job is to make them aware of it and put the spin on it. And usually there is always, you know, a hidden gem or a surprise for everybody. But, you know, we have to be spin doctors, but I think that our spin is always authentic.
Yes.
That's the key.
Everything you said is absolutely true, you 100%. Know. And he spoke a lot about the backyard tourists, which is critical.
Key.
Yes. But in speaking about the tourists and in speaking to your question, Matt, I just think since the advent of social media, we're considered small destination marketing organizations, mm-hmm. budgetarily. And, you know, to buy a print advertising in a major magazine is a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
Television, same thing, right? We can compete with the Philadelphias and the Pittsburghs on a social media and on a digital level. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that has helped us, the smaller DMOs, not just us, but all smaller DMOs, if you were progressive enough to go down that route, to really get on par with the larger destination marketing organizations. Because even though we all work together very well, we're all in competition with one another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the same time, even Andrew. Oh, yeah. So, right. It just, the social media aspect of things have leveled the playing field a lot. And that's, I think, helped our region tremendously.
Yeah. And, and to get back to what you were saying about, you know what to expect from Disneyland, or you know what to expect from Great Adventure. It goes back to what Otto said about the loyalty of people coming back, is because we're not just a one-stop shop, and there's always something for more people to explore. I mean, if you're into history and heritage, there's a lot to discover. If you are into outdoor recreation, there's a lot to discover. If you're into breweries, wineries, even antiquing or shopping. So what we find is, because we're not hanging our hat on one thing, though I think probably the top priority for us is outdoor recreation, which still has a ton of sub amenities that are under it, is that people can come explore at their own pace and ideally discover something new while they're here and then come back and explore again, which I think is a huge plus. I don't think people are like spin the dial and crazy. I think they're spin the dial and, hey, what's next?
And I'll add to that one more thing. because I look at those niche markets, like for us, covered bridges, and where we were 15 years ago versus where we are now, and I know you do the same thing. Again, I mentioned it earlier that, you know, we're always, Andrew and I tend to look ahead. We're not looking in 2024. We're looking at 2026, 2027, how we can make our destination better. And we invest in the products and the software that can get us there. I mean, that right now, that's a huge part of our budget. We're both tracking cell phones.
For
people that come into our region.
Scary.
And you can get a lot of data from that, that again, it's just a shift of the dollars. You're spending money in your budget to get that particular software, but then hopefully you're able to make better decisions so that your advertising dollars are used more effectively and you get a better return on investment on your actual advertising dollars.
Well, that and getting data analytics that can help with economic development, which so often people do not think that tourism is part of it, which is what we've been kind of waving the banner for in the 20 years and the 40 years that you and I have combined both been in it, you know. And so, you know, we're not made on an assembly line. It's an experience. But when you can get the data and analytics and help with economic development, that can be a game changer. I mean, there's what you think you know, and then there's what you know. And through capturing this data, we're actually working closely with a developer in Northumberland County to try to secure enough data to get some financing to finally get a hotel or two in Northumberland County. And then in Snyder County, we are very excited. One of the best, it's the new pickleball, which is disc golf. And in Failure Lake area in Snyder County, one of the best kept secrets is it's less than 2 years old, but it is ranked number 14 in the world already in terms of disc golf. And the pro who, the guy who developed the disc golf course now is going to have, hopefully in June, the back nine at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club is now going to be a disc golf course because the infrastructure can be picked up and moved. And we are sponsoring the equipment for the back nine. And by helping that and sponsoring the equipment, we are now investing in a popular outdoor recreation that is increasing. And so what that ideally will do is bring more tournaments into the area. It'll help more people coming into the Shamokin Dam area. Their goal is to actually bid on the 2026 World Championship, right? So between the Failure Lake and that, and they know that that will not be able to house everybody. So, you know, they're like, but it's a great way to fill up the hotels in Shamokin Dam, in Lewisburg, in Danville, and, you know, and that. So that's really important, you know. Then people are like, oh, okay.
And taking that story full circle, which leads to the economic development part of things, is when you create those assets.
Yeah.
Now you make that region more attractive to people discover it because they're on vacation or maybe they're playing disc golf there. Maybe they're coming to a tournament. It's like, oh, you know what? And they do it for several years. And lo and behold, the demographic's getting younger, which is what we're trying to attract. they're like, I'm going to start my business. You know, I really like that area because I've been there three or four times. Boom. Now you start getting that economic development conversation going. That's why, as Andrew stated, tourism is a huge component. It is dovetailed to economic development beyond what most people realize. And it is that, what your scenario that you presented is exactly, it's it. That's what it is. And that's what we've been promoting for 20 years.
And it's crazy and often misunderstood because most businesses spend marketing dollars to market their product to come into their front door. And we're marketing to go into everybody else's front door but ours. You know, so it's often misunderstood. But when you can connect the dots and prove economic development and you have the data and say, if it wasn't for this event or festival and what visitor spending is, if this festival wasn't held here on that day, it wouldn't have brought in $200,000 to the local downtown businesses. Then people are like, oh, and then it starts to make a difference.
I was thinking of closing with a question about specific things in your areas that have come or gone, that, you know, how they impact the overall numbers. But it seems like tourism is so widespread. There's like, it seems like something big can leave and it's still, the spending's still going up because there's just so much going on. Is that kind of the case?
It ends up being a surprising game for me. I get surprised all the time. So for instance, you know, last year out of nowhere, the guy contacted me from Bassmasters, right? And was like, hey, listen, you know, we're coming to the Susquehanna River. We'd love to sponsor, you know, you guys to be a sponsor. Well, it turns out that they were really confused and the section of the Susquehanna River was well below Harrisburg. And I just said, well, you know, I'd love to consider sponsoring it, but you know, that's not my area. So they sent guides up who vetted the area and they moved it up to my area, which is great. And wow, they loved it so much that they're bringing their second event up in June, you know, and the guys that came, these guys were awesome. It was like 250 guys. One guy drove like 7 hours from Milwaukee. One guy, it looked like he was from ZZ Top from Atlanta. And we were like, hey, welcome to the Susquehanna River Valley. Is it your first time? I was blown away by the number of fishermen who already knew about this area that traveled, who came back year after year, which was a great surprise. And then I got to share this one event out of nowhere. Do you remember the movie The Great Race? That was like in the 60s with a bunch of these stars and mm-hmm. right with everything. We got this phone call and it was like, hey, I'm with The Great Race. And he said, we want to move our luncheon stop from, I think it was Carlisle, and we'd like to stop off in Lewisburg. And this was more about blocking off the streets. And I said, hey, you know, that's not our gig. We'll hook you up with the downtown group in the borough. But relative to trying to find a carrier for their downtown lunch, we can do that. Lo and behold, the Great Race is going to be doing a stop in They added it to their national website. It is, I mean, it's from Maine all the way down to Kentucky. They're stopping mm-hmm. off in Lewisburg. It's hundreds of cars that are like, people ship their cars from Japan to compete. It's 200 people. They'll close the street for the afternoon for 3 hours. They'll have lunch. But the whole thing is for people to come down and see these cars. And it was just out of nowhere, like out of nowhere. So there's always pleasant surprises. And then our job is to partner with these people to make it the best experience, for it to resonate with them, to take advantage of the opportunity, and ideally for it to be a gateway to resonate with them, to ideally tell people to stop by. Like Bassmasters, this second tournament, if they do two back-to-back, that's about it. Like they won't reconsider for a while, right? And the Great Race, probably the same. So you got a limited shot to make an impression, and that's what we got to try to do.
I mean, from my own perspective, I can't get into details, but
ooh.
Our region has two things on the burner that we're involved in the conversations with. One's a national championship-esque tournament coming to our region, and the second would be a world-renowned museum coming to our region. And if something falls away, people are starting to understand that the world got a lot smaller after the pandemic. And
if people in this area think there's nothing to do, spend 30 minutes on social media, the event, I constantly have notifications coming up. Are you going to this event? And, you know, if once you get started there, it's you go down the rabbit hole and you you're gonna be reminded of something all the time.
And I will say this: I don't know about your area, and I'm sure it's going to be consistent. 2024 has just taken off. It's like everybody just suddenly decided to get back with a vengeance. There are more events that are going on. I'm shocked at the amount of events. Our counter events is the number one section on our website that is visited, and I'm thrilled with like. There's so many events that are going on right now that are just blowing my mind. Arts and culture, it's amazing. I'm impressed and very excited. I think this year is just going to be a very exciting year and going to blow everybody's minds. You know, we're going to have to wait till 2026 to get the 2024 numbers. I think when we look at the numbers from this year, it's going to be like, wow.
Yeah, I see that same trend. Absolutely. Yeah. Again, we're... Well, I think we both have, I won't say they're full-time people, but we have a regular person dedicated just solely to dealing with events and getting keeping the calendar in order.
Yeah.
You have to be the key. For a destination to be successful, the destination marketing organization to be successful, you have to be the keeper of the community calendar. And I think both of us do.
Yeah, it has to be robust. And, yeah. And once again, it's kind of like you have one shot when somebody gets to a website that event, either through an image or through verbiage, has to be like, oh, I can't miss that. I can't miss out on that.
That wraps up today's program, the WPGM Community Forum. And we've been hearing today about tourism from Otto Karishian and Andrew Miller, respective heads of the Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau and the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau. Thanks for being with us on the program, gentlemen, and we thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.